1 Corinthians 15.
I have one verse for you, verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? My thought, my text, if the Lord will be with us for just a few minutes, is jeopardy. Most people don't realize what the word means. We're in the 21st century, and a lot of you younger folks, all you associate with the word jeopardy is the TV show. That has nothing to do with the meaning of the word. Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? We've conditioned ourselves to think that we're okay. We've conditioned ourselves to think that we're going to float through life and that no harm's ever going to come to us. We're all right. And I love the song that they sang, Sheltered in the Arms of God. I get a blessing every time I hear that song. But I'm here to tell you today, just because we're sheltered, that don't mean Satan don't have something waiting on you. And I know, I believe, Missionary Baptist doctrine, I believe that once you're saved, it's eternal. It's everlasting.
Amen.
That don't mean Satan's going to quit.
That's right.
If he can't get my soul, he might use me to keep somebody else from being saved.
Amen.
He can use this tongue. He can use my actions. He can use my attitude to turn somebody away from salvation. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Friends, this is a dangerous place, a dangerous world that we're living in. And don't let Satan fool you that everything is A-okay, because it's not. So we read one time, and please pray for just a few minutes. I have learned that I can't preach. I have learned that I can't prep. I can't practice. I can't do all that kind of stuff. I just have to totally try to get in the center of God's will and let Him give me a few words to help you. And that's the only way that I can do any good at all. So we read about the disciples, and it tells this story in the Gospels in different places about how they went out on a ship and how that Jesus was in the ship and he went down in the bow of the ship and went to sleep. And a storm came and the winds blew and the rains fell and the waves swelled so much that the boat was full of water and they were afraid that they were going to sink. And they said that they went down and where Jesus was sleeping and they woke him and they said, Master, care us not that we perish. And the Bible says that it was in such a condition to where they were in jeopardy. Now, you might say that that ship and those disciples and Jesus being in the ship was a representation of the church. Let me just preach this to you.
Bless you, Lord.
The Bible says this. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
The church is going to be victorious. But that does not mean that this local body will suffer. That does not mean that we will go through hills and valleys. And I'm sure there have been times for you folks, you elders, the deacons, and folks like that that's been with Dutch Bottom for years and years and years. There have been times you worried about it. There have been times you lost sleep over it. There have been times that you wondered. And let me just tell you something. Yes, the church is going to rise to meet Jesus in the air, and we're the apple of his eye, and he loves us. But if we don't obey God at Dutch Bottoms, if we let our tongues flow just whatever comes through our ears and out our mouth, if we don't love one another with all our heart and try our best to get closer to God, this time next year, this building can
would be empty if Satan has his way.
Amen. Now, amen. Preacher, come on now.
This has stood for over 100 years. Satan would love for us to get in a fist fight this morning. Do you know that?
Amen.
He'd love for us to have cross words. He'd love for us to hate one another. He'd love for me to jump up and say, well, I'll never be back. Let me tell you something. I'll be what God wants me to be. And if I try to do my own thing, trouble is coming my way. The waves will get over my head. The wind will blow. When you're out of God's will, you're not under His protection.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Bless you.
All right. They woke him, and they said, Master, carest not that we perish. And you know what his response was? Where's your faith?
Amen, come on.
Where's your faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report.
Amen.
There have been times you've been worried, haven't there? There have been times that you wondered. Been times that there was nothing else to do but just trust in the Lord. And when you trusted in Him and you believed on Him and you lived for Him, He came through. I'm telling you today, no matter what the storm is, try Jesus. He never, never fails. They thought they were going to sink. They awoke the master. He stepped up on the bow of the ship and he said, peace, be still. Aren't you glad? Now listen, the weather says it might rain today, might rain tomorrow. I've seen them call for storms over out in the west. They're calling, there's a certain place up in Nevada, Sierra Mounds, they're calling for 5 to 10 feet of snow. I wouldn't want to be in that. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you today, all the master has to do is speak the word, and the winds will cease.
Amen.
The storm will stop. The snow. And if we may be in a point in life where it's dark in this day and age, we may be in a point in this way where it looks like we may never see the sunshine again. But one day, we'll be vanquished for a night. The joy cometh. In the morning, there'll be one glorious day after a while when the sun, the S-O-N, will shine for eternity.
Amen. 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 Come on.
Bless
him,
Lord.
Bless
him, Lord.
Amen.
He spoke the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind ceased and the waves stopped. Let me tell you something. I've been in church all my life. Now you pray on. Don't you stop praying.
Bless him, Lord.
I've been in church all my life. I have never seen churches go through what they've gone through in the last 3 or 4 years. And you would have thought, and you pray, I'm just going to try to preach what the Lord gives me.
Bless him, Lord.
You would have thought that with a worldwide pandemic, when people, good people, godly people, I could name you both hands the numbers of people that COVID took out.
He'll be more.
Godly people that lived right. Church people that COVID took out. You'd have thought, and there's not a person under the sound of my voice that doesn't know somebody that left this world because of that pandemic.
Yep.
You'd have thought that that would have driven people to Jesus. Yep. You would have thought that people would have cried out, that America would have hit their knees, that they'd have begged and prayed to God, that He'd hear their prayer and take this plague from them. You'd have thought our country would have turned back to God, and instead, we've gotten farther and farther and farther away from it.
Amen.
People that
Amen.
Used to be steadfast and unmovable won't even darken the door today.
Amen.
What's wrong with us? We're in jeopardy. Sin has caused separation
care about anybody. We don't care about our family. We don't care about our home. We don't care about our church. We don't even care about ourselves anymore. Oh, God, have mercy on us poor souls in jeopardy.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Oh,
we read about over in Acts chapter 5, two church people, they saw the power of God move. The Bible doesn't say, but I would imagine they were there maybe on the day of Pentecost. And they saw when thousands of souls were saved. They saw the power of God fall. And devout men from every nation heard the gospel in their own language. They said this, as a matter of fact, how hear we the wonderful works of the Lord in our own language? Amen. It was something that could be understood. I want you to realize that. And you may not understand how salvation works. You may not understand. You may even question why God would love someone like you. I don't understand why he would save a wretch like me. But I was there. I know what happened. I got saved by the grace of God.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
And I can imagine Ananias and Sapphira being there, seeing the power of God move, filling the whole house. You know what I'd love to see happen at Dutch Bottoms? You know what I'd love to see as a result of our revival? We had spirit this morning. We had a good service last Sunday morning. But you know what I'd really love to see? I'd love to see a lot more. I'd love to see it fill the whole house. I'd love to see the people on the back row be so moved that they shout. I'd love to see us on the front row praising the Lord and lifting up his name. God, let me preach this to you. Do you believe this? God is a big God. And he can fill a whole house with his spirit and power. He can melt the heart of the hardest hearted sinner. And he can save to the uttermost.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
And there is Ananias and Sapphira. And they knew this saint. And they saw him take everything that he had and lay it down at the apostles' feet. And they knew this neighbor. And they saw him take everything he had and lay it down at the apostles' feet.
Amen.
And they knew this friend. And they saw him take everything he had and lay it down at the apostles' feet. I appreciate what you give the church. God don't want what's in this.
Amen.
He wants everything you have.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the deed to your house. I'm not talking about the title to your car. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Listen, this is a hard scripture. It catches me every time. How about you? That little three-letter word gets me. A-L-L. It's easy to give him the leftovers, ain't it? It's harder to give it all to him.
Amen. Come on.
Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, mind. Where's your mind right now? Is it on that chicken leg? Where's your mind right now? Is it what you're going to do next week? All the stuff you got left to do at work? How about how good God has been to you? Amen. Is that running between your ears? How about the mercy and the grace he showed you when he saved your soul from hell? We're unworthy. Thank just a handful God. Of Thank dust. You. And yet, he redeemed sinners like Amen. You and I. Now we need to give him all that we've got.
Amen.
Amen.
With all. You pray with Becky. I'm going to preach on a little while. The Lord's helping me for a few minutes. Let the Lord thy God with all that heart, soul, mind, and
bread. We'll wear ourselves out on the job till we can't hardly hold our head up. Oh, let me tell you something. God deserves way more than you or I, the one, are giving him today.
Bless you, Lord.
When all Ananias came in, sold a part of land for a certain amount, and he came in and held back part of the price. You're not going to hold on to sin, and God bless you. I don't care if you come right up on the altar. I don't care if you get right behind the pulpit. You won't get away with it with God if you don't give him all that you've got. If you don't break down and repent. And let me preach this. Repentance involves a change of behavior.
That's it. Come on.
If you don't change, you've not repented.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
You could give him lip service like I've done and go right back to the same old sorry way you were living. But if you really want God, you'll pour a broken heart out before him. You'll tell him you're sorry and you'll change.
Amen. Come on. Bless him, Lord.
Sin is sin. And be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. I wish you had preached on heaven. I wish I could have too.
Bless him, Lord. Come on.
But that's not what the Lord wanted. He wanted this.
Amen.
He wanted you to know that you're in jeopardy. You know what jeopardy is? That's being in danger.
Bless him,
Lord. All right.
Bless you, Lord.
We worry, and I'm not saying that it can't happen, but we worry with the way the world is today. People strung out on drugs and meth and all that, they lose all sense of morality. And we worry about somebody coming through the door armed, that kind of thing. Are we worried about what's happening on our altar? Are we worried that we don't have as much spirit and power as we need? Are we worried about sinners sitting right in our sanctuary and walking out the door lost and undone without God? I might survive a gunshot, but if I'm lost and undone without God, I'll go to hell.
Amen.
And you will too. And you're in jeopardy without Jesus in your heart. All right. You pray on.
Bless him, Lord.
God is good, ain't he?
Amen.
And yet we like to sing about it. We like to tell about it. Can't you see?
Bless
I'm
going
to get to Ananias and Sapphire.
Bless
he
him.
Brought in, held back part of the price. And the apostle said, why hast thou lied to God? He said, you've held back part of this, and it's going to cost you. Listen, sin has a cost. Did you know that?
Yeah.
There's a payment to be made for sin. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err. Did you hear that? He is not talking to the drunkard. He is not talking to the drug addict. He's not talking to the sinner that's never used God. He's talking to the redeemed. He's talking to those that claim Jesus as their Savior. Do not err, my beloved brethren. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. For the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
You may live 100 years, but if you're deep in sin, you're dead as far as your spiritual life goes.
Amen.
And this man, this spiritual man that's on the inside, is just like this natural man. You cut the food off and see if your body don't get weak.
That's
if you don't ever eat from God's table, you'll get weaker spiritually more and more and more until you can't even stand and give a testimony and say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm here to tell you today, God is wonderful and we're ungrateful.
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
We ought to be shouting the praises of God because he's been too good to us, more than we ever deserved. And we'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about our ball team. We ought to be talking about the goodness and the mercy of God. For his mercies are new every morning. It's by his mercies that we are not consumed. You're not in hell this instant because of the mercy of God.
Amen. Come on.
That's right, man.
That's good preacher.
They bound Ananias' body up and carried him out. And that was it for Ananias.
you don't hear his name mentioned again. Now let's talk just an hour more about Ananias. His wife came in about 3 hours later. Men, well, nobody knows. Your family knows. And what you do has an effect on your family. On your wife, on your children. Ass taken. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look Achan up and go read about him. What Ananias did had an effect on his wife, Sapphira. The apostle said, did you, your husband, sell the piece of land for so much? And she said, yay. You know what happened to her? She fell over. And they carried her out. God help me if I'm going to live sorry as the devil, that I don't hurt my wife. That I don't kill her spirit. Men, what we do affects our household.
Amen.
Right.
Now, we got real quiet all of a sudden.
Come on.
We got real quiet all of a sudden.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Here's
what you need.
I believe we need to be a spiritual leader, don't you?
Amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
There's Ananias playing church, never realizing that he and his family were in jeopardy.
That's right.
Until it was too late. You may say, I've done it. Have you? I'd say if you've been on the road a few years, you probably have too. Sit through a whole revival, not be changed one bit. Never realizing what kind of jeopardy we're really in. Listen. John asked you if you knew somebody that was a sinner, and a whole altar full of hands went up, probably some back in the congregation. What are you going to do about it? If they are a sinner, by definition, are they not on their way to hell?
Amen.
Is that person you raised your hand for, by definition, are they not on their way to hell?
Amen.
Would you say that they're in danger? Mm-hmm. Would you say that we sang the song, I love the song that Don and them sings, just any day now.
Amen.
Since just any day now, our Lord is coming. Well, guess right. What, sinners? Just any day now, you will breathe your last breath. Just any day now, your heart will stop. I've heard Juanita give her testimony about being on the school bus and it turning off down there. And I'm going to try to tell it, Juanita. I know that I will never be able to tell it the way you tell it because it's personal to you and it led to your salvation. She talks about turning off in the Race Chapel Holler, a big old ditch hole there beside the road. And she was scared if that bus dropped off into that hole that she might be killed. And die lost. There is absolutely no guarantee you will make it from this parking lot to your driveway this morning. Amen. You better be ready to meet the Lord. Amen. You're in jeopardy. You're in danger. And it's my sinner and your sinner in danger. And yet we play. And yet we tell ourselves we're okay. And yet we live with our sin. And if we make an attempt at repentance, it's just a multitude the words, and her heart is not in it, and there's no change. How do you expect God to deal with the hearts of our sinners when we're not serious about it ourselves?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Preacher, you just being a smart aleck.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
We're okay with anything and everything.
Help him, God.
And let me tell you something. Doing God's will crosses the will of the flesh.
That's right.
It will not agree. And I know you got concerned. This is what Jesus said. Marvel not if the world hate you. For it hated me before it hated you. As a matter of fact, they despised Jesus. They hated him so much they crucified him.
That's right.
And it's like this. Remember the parable of the seed sower? And I'm going to move on just a minute. Randy, I love you.
I love you.
Remember the parable of the seed sower?
Help him, Lord.
Not every place he sowed the seed was good ground.
Yeah.
Right. Not every place he sowed the seed, did the plants just pop right up. New life and fruitful. Some was in thorns. Some was by the wayside. And this is what came to me whenever you made that request this morning. Some fell on stony ground.
Amen.
Yeah. Some that big. Some this big. Some this big. Some that big. Right? And you may pick the ones up like that. Toss them aside. One by one. Until there's not so many there. And if you work hard, eventually you can remove all the stones. And that ground that was once stony ground can become good ground. There may be some stones that's that size. I couldn't lift one that size, could you? We may need some help with that. And I've seen people when they got big stones, have you seen them? They'll take a big sledgehammer and a wedge or something like that, or a jackhammer, and they'll hit that stone, and it's not moving much, is it? It may take lick after lick after lick, year after year after year, many, many days to break that stone down into sizes that's small enough that it can be taken away. It don't mean the stone's going to lock it much either, does it? But you're doing it because you want to bring new life. You're doing it because there's love in your heart and you want to see that person draw nigh unto God. The stone might not like it, but you do everything you do in love and you lift up the name of the Lord, and what was immovable can someday be moved out of the way if you give enough love and you live for the Lord. We want people to come to our church. We want people to do right. We want our people on the altar. And yet, we're in jeopardy ourselves of starving to death because we refuse to draw nigh unto God.
Amen.
Good preacher.
All right. I've met Ananias in my life, have you? I've met Sapphire in my life, have you? They'll let one little something or another get between them and God. And they'll hold on to that. And they can't enjoy their salvation. They can't be blessed. God can't use them. You can pretend. Y'all ever done that? You can pretend. And you can go through the motions. But until you move everything out of the way between you and God, he's not going to use you.
That's right. Amen.
Preacher. If we can't get rid of our sin, how can we help anybody? I said we. Right here. And let me just tell you this. There is not a pastor. There is not a preacher. There is not a deacon. There's not a preacher's wife. There's not a deacon's wife. There's not a lay member. There's not a lay member's wife. Nor all their children that are above sin.
Amen.
The Bible says all have sinned. Short. You made a mistake. I have. And you know what I had to do? I had to get down and say I'm sorry. And then if I did you wrong, I had to come to you.
That's right.
And the Lord has told me before, go and tell somebody you're sorry that I felt I didn't owe an apology to. But before I could preach, I had to go say I'm sorry.
Amen.
Before I could sing,
I had to go say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Before I could feel God the way I wanted to, I had to go say I'm sorry. Did the man return that apology? No, he didn't. He was right and everybody else was wrong, but I was okay because I humbled myself and did the thing that God wanted me to do. I'm here to tell you today, you got to cross the flesh to please God.
Amen. Come on.
It gets uncomfortable sometimes. But if you don't do what God wants you to do, you'll never make the soldier that he could have made out of you.
Amen.
All right.
In jeopardy. You agree your sinners are in jeopardy?
Yes.
Amen.
You agree your church is in jeopardy?
Amen.
We're not here to sit down and take it easy. First time that I was invited to come and preach, well, I came here years ago, I guess when Ray Wiley was pastor and preached one Sunday morning. But when you were out of a pasture the first time Marty called me to come, he was going to be sick or out of town or something, and I came. Roger Butner. Marty gave me his phone number and I called him. This is when we start, and you come on over. Him and Carolyn was here, and John and Peggy was here. Time has gone by. Time has changed things. You see, friends, even a solid rock with age sometimes becomes weaker. Sometimes it'll crack. Sometimes it ain't able to stand the weight that it used to stand. That's why when we come to church, we need to stand together.
Amen. Come on.
John may have trouble sometimes with the things that's in his life.
Help him, Lord.
Being able to make the stand that he once made for the Lord. But if I can stand beside of him on this side, and Marty can stand beside of him on this side, we can stand the body load, and we can go to victory together. This church, is this your church?
Amen.
Let me ask you that.
Amen.
Do you identify? We've got all kinds of folks who are talking about identification. Do you identify with being a member at Dutch Bottoms?
Amen.
Do you identify Dutch Bottoms as your church? Do you identify Jesus as your Savior?
Amen.
Do you identify being an old-time Christian?
Amen.
Well, if this is your church, we need you. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. And every time you're not in your place on the altar, it makes us just a little bit weaker and gives Satan room to slip right in. I'm here to tell you today, we need one another. We need the church and we need Jesus.
Amen.
I never thought about preaching all this.
Come on, that's
all right. Jeopardy. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he said, wherefore shall I do? For my barns is full. I don't know what else to do. He said, I'll just build bigger. And I'll have a place to store all my fruits. And I'll say, ah, soul, thou hast many fruits stored up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. You might say he is prepared. You might say he thought ahead. You might say, even whenever he wasn't able to go out into the fields anymore, he still had enough to eat for years and years and years to come.
That's right.
What he didn't realize was the jeopardy that he was in.
Amen.
The danger
that he was in.
He didn't realize that death was on the door.
That's right.
You see, death don't care. You think of death, and you might think it taking somebody with my hair color, that old gray stuff. But you know what? They bury young people at Manses and Brown's, Austin Lloyd. The first funeral. Johnny, will you pray for me?
Happy morning.
The first funeral that I ever held. I was a pastor at Round Mountain, and I hesitate to say, but I'm going to. I don't think they would mind. It was a church, a young couple, and they had two little boys. And the oldest one was 5, soon to be 6, about to go into first grade. And if I called their name, you'd know them. Little boy on the back of a four-wheeler with a neighbor, no helmet. They hit a bump. The little boy came off. He hit his head on the asphalt, on the pavement. And he never knew another thing. He was in a coma for about 3 or 4 weeks. They took him to Children's Hospital in Johnson City, and the family stayed there with him night and day. And you could tell that it was wearing on them, worrying them. You could see the look on their face and in their eyes. And I tried my best to pray for them. And I got to the point one night, about 2 or 3 in the morning, I eased off and tried to pray. And the Lord said, this is not where you need to pray. You need to go to Johnson City. So about 3 in the morning, I put my clothes on. I went up the interstate and went to Children's Hospital at Johnson City. And I went in the hospital and I eased in the hospital room. And Grandpa was sitting nowhere asleep. And the child in the bed with the eyes closed and didn't know a thing. And I got down on the top floor and I prayed and I said, Lord, let your will be done right here. If it's your will to touch this child and him to come back and be healthy, please do that. But if it's your will that you take this child, please be gentle on this family. Don't let them suffer. Give them comfort and peace. I went back home. I don't think anybody ever knew I was even in the room. But I got through and prayed that morning. And by that night, they had called and the child had left this world. And I had to stand as the first funeral I ever had. We had it up there at the Methodist Church in Newport. You know what I'm talking about? And there was the biggest crowd. There had to be 300 or 400 people. People I worked with, people that I knew. They had never heard me preach. What do you say when a child that's 5 years old dies? What do you preach? I had no idea that the Lord gave me this thought. God has a plan. So that's what I preach.
Amen.
We may not understand the reasons why God does what he does. I see my boys. I remember when mine was born and Tammy brought them forth and we held them and we loved them. We tried to raise them right. And you can see your child as they get to graduate high school and adulthood and bring children of their own in the world. That's what a parent thinks of when they think about their child. They don't think about losing one. But I'm here to tell you today, you may not understand the reason why. You may not understand why God does what he does. But he has a reason. And he knows more than we know.
Amen.
And all we can do at a time like that is just trust him.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you today, the next death may be yours. You may not make it out the door. And if you've not been saved by the grace of God, you're in jeopardy of burden eternally.
Amen. Amen.
Well, what about that little five-year-old preacher? Let me tell you about him. 2 weeks before he hit his head hit the pavement, he spent the day with Granny while Mom and Dad were working every day. And he told Granny, "Get you a piece of paper." And he had her write. And he said, "Granny, this is my song." And he had her write about angels with wings that he saw.
Amen.
You see, I believe these babies, until they reach the age of accountability, if God takes them, they're with Him.
Amen.
Amen. If you're here and you don't know whether you're saved or lost, if you're here and you're afraid to die, afraid that you might wake up in hell, you're in jeopardy.
Amen.
You're in trouble. I don't believe the Lord would give me this to preach if we didn't have some sinners in jeopardy.
Amen. Amen.
What are you going to do about it, Dutch Bottoms?
Yeah.
Are you going to draw nigh unto God?
Amen.
Are you going to play around like Ananias and Sapphira and not realize what kind of jeopardy our church is in, that your life is in, that your spirituality is in? Are you going to say, "Oh me, oh mine, our church"? But I didn't read where there was one single disciple got a pan or a bucket or anything and went to bailing water. Did you? I don't think that's in there. I know we're supposed to have faith, but I believe God wants us to help ourselves.
Amen.
That's right.
We pray, but if we don't put legs into those prayers, are they going to get answered?
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, one minute. We're in a scary world today where men would have you to believe that people are out there just willing to stab, shoot, do anything. That all of the evil is coming in from the four corners of the earth on the good old United States of America. Let me tell you something. We're just as mean and ugly as evil as everybody else.
Amen.
And if we don't realize where we're at and the error of our ways, we're not going to get any better. It's time, well, it's time that the church stood up and goes to vote. It's time the church worries about what's going on the altar.
Amen.
It's time the church falls down on their knees and wonders why I don't have the testimony I used to have. Why can't I feel God the way I used to? If the last time you shed a tear was the day Jesus saved you, you're in trouble. You're missing the boat.
Amen.
I know the world says men shouldn't cry. You see me cry, I'm not crying because I'm sad. Those are tears of joy because Jesus has saved my soul.
Amen.
He redeemed me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
There's more to salvation than just missing hell. You're missing all the joy that God could bring you if the last time you felt His Spirit was the day He saved you.
Amen.
Well, how do I get out of the shape that I'm in? If you open this every day,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to read Psalm 119. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. You don't have to read Psalm 132. I believe that's the shortest one. But I tell you what you need to do. Let the Lord show you.
Amen.
If it's just a verse, and you know what it's telling you, it'll talk to you. Do you know that? It'll show you where you're at and where you need to be.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Read your Bible.
try turning the world off. You remember that scripture about praying where it said go in your closet? You know what that means? You can ask my wife, if we try to get in our closets, we might not ever get out. That means shut the world out.
Amen.
If the Lord gives you a little something to do, turn the TV off.
Amen.
Amen.
Find a place where it's just you and God.
Amen.
Read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time talking to the Lord. Right here sits a good married couple. If they never spoke to one another, if they never saw one another, would it last very long at all? No. How long has it been since you talked to the Lord? I mean really talk to Him. Not saying God is great over food.
Amen.
I mean pouring your heart out to Him until you have talked to Him. And this is how you know you've prayed, when you've talked to Him and He's talked back to you.
Amen.
And it might be something. I've heard Him speak peace to me. I've had Him give me joy. Then I've had Him tell me, you know where you're at and where you need to be. Just like He did Joshua when Achan committed the trespass. He told Joshua, I'll not be with you anymore until I'm willing to repent and I'm willing to give up my sin. I need to expect God to do anything for me. You see, what's the word? Without chastisement? We want to think, well, it's time for you to shut up, preacher. We want to think that God is love, 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 and that's what the Bible says He is. As a matter of fact, He loves us and does teach us how we ought to act.
Amen.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Okay. Let's cover that third one right there. Teenagers, I'm glad you know how to act in church. I'm glad you show respect in church. I'm glad. I know you're exposed to things every day. I've seen them. I teach school. I know. I'm glad you got parents that have told you that this is a place where men worship God.
Yeah.
And that you need to do that as well. And I appreciate what you do for Dutch Bottoms. Moms and dads with these smaller children. I'm glad that you have your children set down in church. I'm glad that you want them to hear God's word. That you want them to hear the songs and know who Jesus is. You see, one day their heart's going to be broken. One day they're going to need salvation. And if we never teach them to reverence the house of God, or we never teach them that Jesus loves them, just personal experience, it's a lot easier to see somebody saved if they come to church.
Amen.
It's a lot easier to see a boy or a girl saved if they're made to sit down and pay attention and listen to church. I'm glad that you reverence and that you have the respect for Dutch Bottoms, that you make your children mind listen in church. That's something to be appreciated and something to be applauded.
Amen.
And I really appreciate it. All right. God, you see, one day they'll be in jeopardy too.
Yeah.
One day they'll need Jesus. Are your sinners in jeopardy of hell?
Amen.
Is it your child and my child? Your grandchild, my grandchild, that's on their way to hell. Your neighbor, your sister, your brother, your mom, your dad, that's in jeopardy. Now, we can go eat chicken. We can go take a nap. And you can dismiss what you've heard this morning. But I hope that it bothers you. I hope that something I've said made you a little unsettled, way down deep inside, until you would want to do something about it.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we're the church,
if they can't get saved here, it's not going to happen anywhere else.
That's it.
All right. I love you.